Hello, and thanks for joining us on our series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today, we'd like to learn how to improve our life. Our life is made up of relationships. We have different kinds of relationships with different people, at home, at work. And on this show, every time we take a certain relationship, and we try to delve deeper into it to better understand it, how to improve it, what are the difficulties. And from my experience, we can draw conclusions from any relationship to any relationship. So I'm sure that this talk will be interesting and very practical for just about anyone. And what we'd like to focus on today are the relationships between parents and teenagers, adolescents. We'd like to understand or address this very sensitive and painful place and learn how can we make this a better and safer place. Nitza, please. So maybe I'll just explain my situation as a mom, as a parent. Our teens are going through a very interesting and worrying process lately. If, until a few years ago as a parent, it was enough that I protect my teens and I made sure that they'll be in the right environment with the right friends, that somehow I could control the environment that they're in, today I already understand that the influences and dangers are practically behind every corner. Our teens today are exposed to plenty of dangers, and the number of the environments that they're exposed to is enormous. It's not just the street, or suppose at school, like it was in the past, but through the media, through the virtual world, they're actually exposed to an infinite number of environments that influence them in a way that we can't even understand. Meaning that if in the past I was calm, that my kid's at home and I more or less know who is he meeting with, and that was okay. Today, even if he sits at home behind his computer, I have no idea what he's going through and what environment will influence him. And all that, alongside with the fact that our teens are going through internal experiences that are probably different than the ones we went through, beyond the hormones that we had and they have, and beyond all the inner processes, the feeling is that they're going through different things that we didn't go through. Their needs are different. Thoughts, desires, aspirations. There's a situation here where, on the one hand, they're going through an inner process, which for us is very hard to understand, this inner world of theirs. And on the other hand, they're exposed to so many dangers that it turns the entire situation into something impossible. And if to take into account that parents are much less at home nowadays, working long hours, so we're much less involved in their lives. And so there's a kind of disconnection, lack of understanding that we have toward our children. So what I'd like to ask is, maybe you can take us on a walk through the inner world of teenagers to first of all understand what goes on inside of them. And maybe then we'll address the different dangers that they're exposed to. So the first question, what's special, unique about today's teenagers compared to the teenagers that we were? Well, it depends what period are we talking about. I went through these things in the 60s. The 60s were very different than today. It was a period in which everyone had a dream as to how to develop. For someone, it was the American dream. For someone, it was science. For someone, it was music, culture, sports. Everyone wanted to reach some good, great achievements. It was ballet. Teenagers aspired to be something. They wanted to become something, someone. And the general atmosphere was that you can achieve anything. And to fill your life with it, and to really reach fulfillment, that everything's open before you, the entire world. And we were then, back then, as if with all of our senses wide open, each in their own direction, according to what they felt, with the inclination that they were born with or with how society directed them, but that this is what I want. And eventually, after, more or less, at school, the teacher used to talk to the parents. She used to say he should go and take math, she should take ballet, he should take art, etc., etc. For him, science, etc. And the parents directed their child correspondingly, and with the extracurricular activities after school, and with the different books, and that you buy the child a musical instrument, etc. Meaning there was always something that the child would choose besides his ordinary studies that he knew, yeah, I need to study, I need to get, I need to finish school. But already now I'm advancing in something. And if you look back at my class, I remember that one of our students, he always had mice in his pockets. Little, wait. Someone else used to collect different leaves, plants of different sorts. Someone else was all into sports. Another one was always, he was always in car shops, always used to come with dirty hands, was into mechanics. And they also went from state to state, but we always searched between the different circles, extracurricular activities, beyond school. There were those that studied more, studied less, but each was thinking, in what direction, in what way does he want to realize his life? We were all thirsty to live for life. And also I remember that to school, suppose there used to come a pilot. He came to our school and he explained that nevertheless it's very important to be disciplined and to listen to your body. Because he says, if I'm working with this stick, he was a fighter jet pilot, so they had the special stick, not like in an ordinary plane. He says, if I take to the right or to the left, whether I like it or not, I look in this direction and I turn the stick in the other direction, meaning I need to accustom myself to all the time sit under my own control, to be under my own control all the time, and it's very important. If you think that you can do some kind of subtle work, besides the kind of work that I'm doing, then you need to know, once you turn, to what extent is your attention, is your focus scattered all over and you're no longer in control, focused on what you previously did. And I remember how he talked and explained, and it had an impact. Then came a lady and explained about ballet with a musician. He explained a bit, she explained a bit. Each of them explained how difficult it is, but how interesting it is, how much it opens up a person. Meaning, but still, inside of us, there was a desire to be great. And that's how it was for everyone. And really, it's a wonder that there were those that wanted to be farmers, grow something that was also very respectable. And next to our school, there was a place where you could do it. I remember they had bunnies there, and there were plants and different things. I never went there. I only knew that this is what they're doing there, because I was drawn to something else. There were kids that used to go, and so did I, to the stellar observatory to watch the stars, to find out what's how to calculate all the different movements of the different celestial bodies. Meaning, we were given several directions, not many. I also grew up in a relatively small city, 250,000 people, supposedly today the city of Petah Tikva, where we are now, something like that. And therefore, it wasn't something like in the capital or something, but still, we also had different trips to different places. And also our free time. We played soccer, tennis in our free time. We used to go to the river, to swim. Skiing in the winter. There were many things to do. For sure, it wasn't boring. There practically was no TV. There was like one channel. Like when I only came to Israel, there was also only one or two TV channels. And there was nothing interesting on in the evenings anyway. And so we were more available to ourselves. Our time was pretty much filled and taken by good things. For the older ages, they had dancing. They used to go dancing, boys and girls. And maybe it kind of passed me by, but still, people wanted to grow, to be greater than their parents. Today, time is very different. The times are very different because humanity is developing at an accelerated rate. And development isn't in the same directions, but the directions changed, and the world became more interconnected, and the world is open to everyone. And also because teenagers nowadays are taking in special foods, correspondingly they go through different inner changes. We don't exactly know or understand how it works, although genetic engineering, it has a very strong impact, but we can't escape it. And the air, and foods, and everything, one way or another, it connects with our body and has its implications. And also the time. In short, we are in a different world. And each day the world is different and more. And that we see a disconnection between us and them, that they're really on a different level, a different degree and direction, and we have no control. As if next to us is growing something which is not of our species. So there's nothing you can do. We only understand how unsuited we are to the new generation. And with them, it's going to be the same, because, you know, the difference in the past between the generations, it took hundreds of years until something changed. The 11th, 12th, 13th centuries, etc., etc. What was the difference? Maybe community life was a bit better, human life was a bit better, but all in all, changes are qualitative besides quantitative. I see I fly a lot. I see teenagers on a plane. For them, that's nothing. They easily sit down, fly, land, go. It's as if the entire planet is theirs. And really, I look at them. I remember how what an experience it was for me, all the more to fly. I flew for the first time when I was 16 or 17, and it was really, in short, it's hard for us to understand them. They change a lot because of the media, because of all the TV series. It all fills them with such patterns of behavior and perception and processing of the information that they get, that it's not them. If I was influenced by the different professions that I saw, the different people I saw, they still lived in a natural way. These work and that, those work and this. I was in a world that lived the same way they did 1,000 and 2,000 years ago, only it was a bit different. There was radio, then television, but it was something that it wasn't any essential change. Today the world has changed so much, and they too, that we need to change. We need to change in order to bring them the right framework for their development. Meaning, not they, but we need to make a leap in our education. We need to teach ourselves how to become adjusted to this new generation, because without the proper framework, we see that they're really lost. They're losing themselves. And also, there are very interesting changes that, on the one hand, they're growing up quickly. You see, at the ages of 6, 7, 8, 10, they understand, they talk. We were pretty deaf to all these things. On the other hand, even though that they're starting to grow up more early, they continue growing up till the ages of 30 and 40. Meaning, teenagers, I don't know who are teenagers and who aren't. And also, can we use the same measurements, standards, and say, okay, these are teenagers and just extend the years? Instead of 13, extend it to 11, and instead of 17, to extend it to 20 and 25. Doesn't work that way. The boundaries are becoming blurred. I don't exactly know what to say, but it seems to me that unless we go through the necessary change, we the parents, then we won't know how to connect with them. And if we won't be able to understand what is the future of the world that they need to be in and adjust ourselves to that new world, We'll have no connection with them, and this is something that we see. That's really, hi, Mom, and that's it. Nothing to talk about. And even later, there's disconnection without any sentiments, without any feelings. Where are my boys? Where are my girls? What are they doing? Sometimes they call, sometimes this, sometimes that, but that's it. And we too, because we have no emotional closeness to them, we don't really think about them. We feel sorry, but how much can you regret things? How long can you be sorry for something? Then you gradually forget. I see it on many people. They forget, yeah, I have a son there, a daughter in some other place. My grandchildren, I see them once every half a year or a year, sometimes even longer. And it's forgotten from the heart because there's nothing in common. If there are no goals, no actions, no processes that we go through somehow together nonetheless, then we move away so much so that we lose each other. We drift apart. We already see that you can't demand anything of them. They also can't go back because it's not how nature is. We always need to go forward. And therefore, we need to make a leap here in our education, in our understanding, and our ascent to their degree, and to see it as an ascent, because one way or another, this evolution, you can't do anything about it. It's the natural evolvement of human society. This is a problem that exists everywhere, in all countries, wherever I visit, I hear and see. Somehow, I ask about the matter, and it's really so. Only, you know, there is a bit of a change in style from place to place, but small changes. What's interesting about this generation is that they're learning from us, and this is something that happened lately, that the matter of a profession is not that important. There are still those that go in and want, but they're starting to see that our life is the life of slaves. What's the difference between a slave that lived in ancient Rome that had to work, and if he doesn't work, he gets beatings, and a person that today, from morning till evening, he and his wife need to go to work and have to work, and if they don't, then they don't get beatings, but they get fired. And then they get blows because they don't have money to pay for the mortgage, for insurance, for everything that they need to pay for, the plenty of debts that they have. This one thing. Another thing is that they see that even if you have a profession and you're a good worker, etc., etc., here and there, people go bankrupt. And it's going and growing. And that simply no one needs it. Different machines are being developed that replace people. And in a few years, we'll see that all the clerks, engineering, secretaries, all the middle class will disappear. People will have no work. And then we're really at a new state. Like we see teenagers abroad in Europe, that half of them have no jobs. They have no work. And then there's a different problem of what do we do with them? Because from there, it's a direct entry into drugs and other problems. severe behavioral problems. And so we need to understand that with their help, we need to understand what is the new world and to help them build it. The new world needs to attract them to come to know the purpose of life. And it can't be less because to try and fulfill their lives, they become pretty quickly disillusioned with it, despaired with it, all the bars, clubs, and other things that TV and internet and all these inventions. We see that, nonetheless, it needs to take on some shape, form, that those left, that stay in those things, it's only some kind of very, very low class. It's always that way. When everyone goes into something, everyone goes into it pretty quickly, tastes it, and it passes. And therefore, a person remains with the same question of, what do I fill myself with? I'm not talking about big philosophical questions. But still, a person that has no work, has no real way to build himself, no foundation for it. It's a problem. It's also good that in the meantime there is some kind of consent between scientists and governments to stop the genetic development, because today, according to research that I'm familiar with, that I know about from fellow scientists, we can reach a development where people can live for 200 and 300 years. We can reach a state where, in terms of technology and development, we have the ability to rise to the next level. But the only way we can rise to the next exalted degree is only if we're in a different, new society that will know how to correctly use it. And therefore, there is a consent among everyone. It doesn't matter. Europe, Russia, America, everyone agrees that we need to wait for the development of the generation, because if we'll introduce these big toys to the contemporary generation, we're simply destroying it. It's like giving some primitive man to play around with a bomb or other dangerous things. And therefore, everything depends, I think, on the parents and not the teenagers, because they're still in a state where we need to show them an example, such an example where it'll be clear to them that they have what to learn from us, because the way we are now, we're real dinosaurs. Therefore, I think that we need to give the parents, we need to teach the parents, give them a course on the future world that needs to be already now, that we need to go into it and start building it. And precisely with the help of our teens that will participate in it full speed, and that together will build something together that will be suitable to them. I think that this is the challenge that both of these generations need to address, parents and teenagers. And I think that the problem isn't the problem of parents and children. It's not even a social problem or a political problem, but it's a global problem. Because we see there people are killing each other, teenagers. And there they have no idea what to do with themselves. They're lying around, smoking drugs, etc., etc. Moving from place to place, making riots, because they have no idea what to do with themselves. They can't get married, have children, have a family. The problem of the young generation is a very big problem. And it's not a problem of employment. We can't invent workplaces for them. We have to understand that that's over. We can't invent workplaces. We don't need these workers, these engineers, technicians. We don't need them. Were we to examine, were we to really look into things, we don't need doctors, we don't need nurses, we can change all these things. But simply that there is a kind of a slowing down, a directed halt, in order to still keep people in different ways, in different places, in order to keep order. The order of the day, work, etc. It's really a political problem that in each and every country, that each and every country is somehow trying to keep their people busy, even though that there's no point. No point. I have a friend. He is the mayor of a city in southern Italy. He visited us recently. So he says that only his small area around the small town that he is mayor in, only in his small area, he says, we can provide all of Europe with olive oil. We have the machines, the technology, everything. But what? I stop it on purpose in order to make place for people to do manual work like they're used to, etc. But how long can it hold? One way or another, you can't stop progress. You can't stop the process. And therefore, we need to see, how do we build the new world for them? Now that you said it, really, I, as a mother, I want to participate in this kind of course that you're talking about. Do you understand correctly that the thing that I need to learn now as a mother is what? Futurism, what? No. We need to change our approach to work. Work doesn't need to be in that a person takes some kind of raw material and turns it into some kind of product and sells it, and someone buys it, uses it for some time, and throws it away. It doesn't need to be that way. Work is in that there's nothing further for us to do on the planet. We're already in maximum capacity. We can provide ourselves with our basic needs, necessary things. This needs to really be our goal, that everyone on the planet will have their basic needs. But beyond that, there's nothing, nothing to do. We need to understand that the work needs to be the work that a person does on himself, inner work, for a person to be engaged in himself. Who am I? What am I? What do I exist for? How can I change society, the relations between us? And that development is endless. And therefore, we need to understand that this is a new type of work for man. And this is something that any person can work in from morning till evening for 8 hours and even more, and accordingly to also change the media and different curriculums in school, etc., etc. For sure, we need to give employment, but such that doesn't force a person to deplete the planet, to ruin the air. There's no need to do anything with the environment. Environment meaning what a man needs to change is the human environment. It's work, but of a different kind. Let's call it intellectual work. And it's suitable for everyone because it's psychology, relations between people, the connection between man and nature, plenty of things. And we've grown to such a form and such a state in our inner development that we're ready for it. And instead of turning to exterior, corporeal forms, like the different ties that we have through our mobiles, etc., that it's endless. And one way or another, it's going to pass, because how long can someone be in it? It'll pass. We need to understand that we need to be connected in a different, more inner way. And then, there, we can develop such sources of energy, such sources of fulfillment that will truly allow us to be happy and to develop limitlessly. Whereas here, if we continue developing in a material, corporeal way, then it has its limitations. The planet is small, limited. Even now we see that we're creating serious turbulences in it. So we need to develop all of these things and to present them to the teens, and this way, together with them, we'll build their new life. And correspondingly, to also teach them that it's not that bad that you're not getting a profession like now, because you need to get a new profession of how do I develop internally in the connection to myself and to others? Because in the meantime, it's happening only in Switzerland with a referendum about basic income. But this organization is an international one. It's an initiative by professors from the biggest, most leading universities in the world. And this organization is working for quite some time now. They have conventions, I think, twice a year. And I follow them. They're very serious people there. It's not just philosophy, but it's also economy and politics, and really. So they're thinking in the right direction. They're saying that really, everyone deserves, because we have reached such a development where machines can do all the work. And for us, on the one hand, there's no point in putting unnecessary people to work. On the other hand, because we also can't stop progress. On the other hand, there's no point in developing the quantities of unnecessary things by which we only bring upon ourselves natural disasters. But we need to give everyone some of money an equal rational distribution for a person not to be concerned with it. But this is something that they're not doing, and I'm adding to it. But we need to add to that that in return for that, each person must become engaged in integral education. How do we correctly connect with one another? How do we develop correctly? How has each of us in this development? And this way, we will build our life until we organize our entire planet in such a way that we reach everyone, everywhere, and we mutually help each other to reach an equal standard of living, corporeally and internal development in which we're all interconnected into a single structure, into one system. This is a big challenge. Only this way will we be balanced with nature. And it's actually all up to us, the parents, that we look at our children with great pain and see that in the best case scenario, they'll be slaves in the high-tech industry. It's like slaves from 2,000 to 3,000 years ago. It's the same. If it forces you beyond your desire, beyond what you want, then it's the same slavery. Only I don't feel it that much because I see that everyone's a slave. So a sorrow shared is a sorrow halved. So this is the direction in which we need to advance. But not to approach, not to address the M generation, but only after we have a clear message and we ourselves are ready and we taught ourselves and we learn and understand and prepare for them the right proper system, only then can we come to them and tie them to it. And I'm sure that they will understand that this is the right way because all in all, we are giving them a framework of the future humanity that will come one way or another, only instead of advancing toward it through blows, riots, bankruptcies, layoffs, wars. We see what goes on around us. We can give it to them smooth. Let's smooth into it. I'm going to take this course, parenting course. Previously said that until we come out with a clear message for the teenagers, there's no point in turning to them, right? So I don't know what's going to happen on this course, but eventually, what will be that clear message that I'll come out with? That we will know how to talk to them, how to relate to them, what to offer them, so that they won't be able to refuse. This is actually... this is a bit unclear for me right now. What is the message? What am I coming with? We, throughout this course, need to undergo through such changes between us that they will enter the life that we're building for them in a preferable way, in full participation, without any problem. They'll understand that, yes, this is the world that is coming, and this is actually the world that we're born for and that we're suited to. They'll naturally feel it? Yeah. I'm asking because many times teens claim that we don't understand them. Of course we don't. That's why we need to take this course first. It's not just to listen. It's a course in which we need to change. That needs to change us. And then the teens will have a feeling that we finally, the parents, know what we're talking about and what we're guiding them towards.
Yes.
And before that, there's nothing you can do. We don't need to come to them with words, but we need to arrange such systems in the relations between us, in our relation to the environment, to the still, the vegetative, the animate, in the relations between people, such systems that they'll enter these systems smoothly. Simple example. If I arrange such a life where everyone gets, suppose, $2,000, regardless of whether they're working or not, but in return for that, that person needs to attend this, the framework of this ongoing chorus, and this for life. The chorus about how to build man, how to build society, I don't know how to call it, integral education, doesn't matter how you call it. But everyone must. You have no other work. This your work, that you come like to the university, you're there, you experience different activities, you study, you get, I don't know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner there, you participate in different activities. This is your work. But you change yourself. And you go home to sleep as usual, and you have the ability to provide for your family, etc., etc. If you're single, then it's $2,000. If you're married, $4,000. And with the $4,000, you can provide for your children, etc., etc. No problem. And then those very teenagers that are thrown through the streets, that today have even more than 60% of unemployment in southern Europe, in Spain, Italy, in Greece even more. I'm talking about young people, mainly teenagers. Then please, they enter. It's true that I as if force him to. I don't just give it to them like the professors want to, those from Switzerland that want to hand out the money for free in the meantime. No, I'm doing it as a government plan that this is how we want to keep them in a framework. We want to arrange them. We want to raise them to a higher degree. We need to adjust them now to this framework that we've built. And this is a compulsory framework. What are we going to do with people? How are we going to give them development? How are we going to give them the ability to be in a family, go through all these courses and everything, how to build themselves? Never throughout our history have we taken care of man himself. We only forced man to deal with the environment and get as much as possible out of him, to squeeze all the juice out of nature, but we never dealt with man himself. We never developed man, nurtured man. This how it was once in Russia for a short period of time. There were slogans, or in France during the revolution in the 18th century. But very quickly, it all disappeared. But here, this is what we need to do in practice. Because here, nature is forcing us now. Otherwise, humanity will deteriorate into terrible states. When you described it, I as a parent suddenly had a feeling that it's a kind of process that is being built, meaning I, as a parent, do I need to wait until all society and everything will change in order for my children to have it good, or it goes in different directions, here and there, in different societies, and accordingly the teenagers will enter all of these things together with us, and especially the people, they need to continue living. So there are those that still work, there are those that already lost their jobs. What we need to do is to draw the connection between a basic income for everyone and the obligation to study and be in a educational framework. Doesn't matter how you call it. That's the obligation. A person can't be free. There's nothing worse, both for a man and for a woman. They have to be connected to a system that educates them and that every time improves the connection between them, improving them as well. So, do you see that the main problem of teenagers today is that they have no direction, that they don't want to develop, they don't want to, and they can't develop according to our agenda, according to our direction, according to how we're developing, because they're no longer the same professions, the same relations at work. The entire attitude toward it changed. There's no drive for it. Okay, now that there's no drive, the situation is that in the very near future, they'll have a problem to make a living. I saw that you tied it to the basic income. First of all, no matter how, one way or another, the government has to give it to a person. If a person isn't given a minimum sum, then immediately we turn him into something very dangerous. If not today, then tomorrow, they'll start burning cars on the streets, breaking showcases, making revolutions or civil wars, etc. Clearly, no country wants that, and therefore, because it has no other choice, the government has to start providing them with it, like in Germany, like in France. There's nothing you can do. That's how it is. They need to be provided with some kind of a basic income, something that they can live off. Yeah, and regardless of whether they're working or not, and what are we doing? We're leaving them to roam the streets, and we see the results. The culture, the education, the relations, and everything that goes on. Once in France, I passed through such a place in order to reach some place there in relation to computers, something. I went through such an area, and he said, "Where did you go?" You know, I innocently passed through there. Maybe that's why I made it in peace. But it's really a problem, a big problem, because I also understand people. They're bored, they have nothing to do from morning till evening. A person becomes an animal. So animals, they have an inner program as to what to do from morning till evening, and if not, then they sleep. It's fine. They have an inner program, and people, what they do, that's really something. It's terrible. Therefore, there needs to be social work here along with basic necessary pay. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the form of money. It could be food, could be places where you can get minimum things for home, special restaurants for all those people, etc. But it's a must. You have masses and millions of people today in all the developed countries that there's nothing to do with them, and there will be more and more. We also see it in Israel, that it's becoming, and we need to understand that it's not a blow. And if now we're going to arrange artificial workplaces for them, it costs us many times more instead of giving them the leftover vegetables, etc. It's interesting what happened here. I drew you a picture that I thought was grim. And Yosef took the movie and fast-forwarded it by a few years. And you showed me that what you think is grim now is nothing yet. No, because now the situation is really, it's a transitional phase. And it's kind of loose. And no one knows what do with it. Now we need to already start building a new world. The parents, they always prepared the new world for the children. And this is what we need to do now. It's upon us to do. We can't say, we're dinosaurs, let them get along. Or to blame them that they're doing something wrong and they're lazy. Doing what wrong? Even if they want to, they can't go back to our world. You don't have the same work relations, workplaces, professions. From one day to the next, everything changes. We're still maybe here in a small country and we have unique conditions, and that's why we feel it maybe a bit less. But what's going on in Southern Europe, you'll have the same here. So maybe in the few minutes that we have left, As parents, this is something that I'd like to feel. Can you let us see through the eyes of teenagers how they see the world, so that I'll get a feeling of what they're going through, their inner world? They look at us as income, supply sources that they can receive from us because we're their parents. They deserve to receive something from us. We're like an ATM, yeah, I suppose. And besides that, they feel that there's not much to do with us because they're smarter, they understand better, they're more slick in everything. The way they find their way around on the web, in the virtual world, on the internet, and culture, and education, and all these things, everything's ahead of them. They're more confident. They were born in a world that already became more round, global. We as if grew up in a world that, like, they used to think in the past that it's flat, like this table, and that you could reach its end and fall. As if this is how we got the world, because we saw only the place where we're growing up, and that's it. What America, what this, what that, it was very far away. And that's the impression that we're left with. Even though that we travel the entire world, the impression's there. And they learned from childhood that the entire world is theirs. It's already round. And therefore they relate to everything in a completely different way. They're not impressed with the world. Everything's normal. Everything's okay. It's a wonder. This is how I traveled with my girls, my son, with my grandson recently. He's not impressed with anything. I explained to him this, that. Yeah, to him, it's of the obvious. Everything's clear. I don't know, it's like if at the age of 5 they take me on an airplane, I'd be, I don't know. He goes in, where's my place? As if he was already there. As if he's already been there. They look at us as though we're really like a kind of film from history. And they're right. We need to change ourselves. And then we'll be able to help them. This needs to be our direction. Not that we'll be respected, not that we'll have some important place or something, position, but in order to help them, to guide them, to make room for them to live in the new world. We need to be like a framework for the new world and for them to fill this framework. We need to end this talk already. Right, tell you, please tell me in a sentence, a person in the new world, what does he feel like? Free? Nothing pressures him. He doesn't owe anyone anything. No one pressures him that he has to do something. He feels himself completely free, like you sometimes go on vacation, just with an open mind. Everything's empty, without pressure. Everything's open to you now, ahead of you. We need to reach a state where a person feels no pressure besides one thing. For him to feel through education the need to be connected with everyone and to constantly advance in that and discover a new world for the sake of his children, for the sake of his friends that he sees already, for the sake of society, And then he'll see more and more new horizons. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.